insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
We are back, and this is hour three, and the number is 888-914-9149. Yes, I know it's Taco Tuesday. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Sometimes we change things around. That's okay. Although, Cyrus, I do think the kids are waiting for that one song.
I told you I was giving it up for Lent.
Well, the kids didn't give it up for Lent. Do it for the children.
And then you were kind enough to show me the contract where I have to play at least some taco music on Tuesdays.
Just that one today will be fine.
All right.
Just that one will be good. 888-914-9149. Call the number. We'll get you on the air. If you get a busy signal, just hit redial. And emails can go to patrick@relevantradio.com. Let's take a quick note that came in from Anne. She says, a thought that may help women struggling with whether to have an abortion. The past few months, I recall you've had several calls from devastated women who had abortions years ago. The pain and regret in their voices was palpable. I also remember an emotional call from a young man named Fernando who drove his girlfriend to get an abortion. Boy, I remember that call. Years later, he struggles greatly with regret. You were reassuring and kind, as always, to these poor people. I wonder if several clips from those types of calls could be put together and saved in one resource on the Relevant Radio app. It would be accessed by people who are struggling with this life-altering question. Any friends who are advising them could forward the recordings to them. I think this would be a powerful support in convincing women to hopefully choose life. Thanks for all you do. And this is from Anne in Wisconsin. And Anne, thank you. And yes, I agree with you. I think that would be a wonderful resource. And they're already there. They're already, you know, recorded. So Cyrus, would you do me and Anne a favor and maybe forward this note to our crack team of people who do this? And say that Anna Wisconsin had a great idea, and could we get something like this prepared and put up on the Relevant Radio app? I'm sure they'll be pleased to get her idea as well.
Fantastic idea.
Yeah,
definitely.
It is a great idea. Thank you, Anne. And, you know, we're always looking for this kind of thing. We always want to be there to help people in whatever ways possible. So please remember, everybody, that so many of these kinds of things that you hear on Relevant Radio are available to you. They're at your fingertips on the Relevant Radio app. And if you don't have the app, how come you don't have the app? It's free. Just go to the App Store and download it. And then you can earmark certain things that you hear and text them to people in your life, people that need to hear it. And then they'll find out about Relevant Radio. And then they'll get the app and they'll start listening. And that's how this ripple effect goes outward. So, Anne, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. And we will act on that recommendation. Let's go now to Norma in California. Good morning, Norma. Welcome.
Good morning, Patrick. I just wanted to share a little story. I've been a pregnancy counseling person for 14 years almost. And one time a 45-year-old woman wanted an abortion. She came in very distraught. Mm-hmm. And the reason for wanting an abortion was because she said, I'm too old and something could be wrong with the baby. So we counseled on two different visits, and she never got prenatal care until she went to the ER at 8 months being pregnant because she was in pain. So they ran testing, and her worst fears came true because they told her that the baby's heart had a hole in it, and they told her that she should consider aborting the baby at 8 months. And she left.
How outrageous.
The emergency. Yes, for sure. She left the emergency room. She never went back again for any prenatal care until she had the baby. So obviously they knew about her, and the medical team was ready to take the baby from her, to take the baby to the NICU because of the heart condition. Yeah. And she had the baby, and the baby was taken for, let's say, 10 minutes, 15 minutes while they did testing and stuff, and they brought him right back. Healthy baby boy, absolutely nothing wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love stories, you know, like
and
this.
And we didn't know any of this until they literally brought the baby in so we could meet him. So with
and I'll bet, Norma, that this happens far more often than people realize. that the misdiagnosis is a misdiagnosis and the baby turns out to be fine. But you know what's so tragic, Norman? You know this. But let's stop and think for a minute about all those couples who make the wrong decision and they do have an abortion and they never will know that their son or daughter would have been born healthy. What a terrible thing to have to live with that.
Absolutely. And it happens, like you said, more often than not. And I just wanted to, you know, I've said this before because I've called before, but for anybody who has going through this and they want to give them some really solid counseling, there's so many pregnancy centers in your area, guys. Just go to optionline.org, punch in your zip code, and they'll give you the nearest pregnancy center there. And those pregnancy centers also have resources and referrals to doctors who, you know, are pro-life.
That's good. Now, that's good advice, Norma. Thank you for that. We need as many options out there as we can, because all the ladies who are in this situation where they're making a decision, they need to know that they have that kind of support. Thanks, Norma. Appreciate it. Let's go now to Gina in Alpine, California. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, Patrick. I wanted to make a couple comments. One was that, and I'm glad your last caller talked about it, women need to really look for a Catholic doctor, but not only just Catholic, but one that does not believe in abortion. The other thing is I've gone through several things that in my life, and I've had friends that have gone through many of what your callers have, me in particular, losing a child, my husband and I, our third one, very late in the pregnancy.
We did at
25 weeks. The baby had been dead for 2 weeks. And so I got so sick. Long story short, God knew what he was doing. And we just put our faith in him and never had testing. But my biggest question for you is, as women, we have been given this precious gift from God to bear children. And for those women who have a hard time or cannot, like my sister could never have bear children, but they have two beautiful adopted children. How can the church, what is your opinion on getting women to understand this, or maybe to preach it more? Because women will fight for their rights to this, to that, and the other thing, but we've been given this gift from God. We have been given it to bring children into the world. And I would love to see the Catholic Church preach more, a lot more of that. You have a gift that men, nothing against men, that's not what I'm saying, but this precious gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so to your point, I'd like to emphasize what Pope John Paul II of blessed memory did to do exactly what you're describing. He wrote a beautiful document on this role that women have. It's a unique role in that the document is called Mulieris Dignitatem, which means on the dignity of women. It's, if you're interested, M-U-L. Mm-hmm. Do you have something to write with?
This is
the Latin phrase. So M-U-L-I-E-R-I-S, that means women. Dignitatem, D-I-G-N-I-T-A-T-E-M. Now, it's available online at the Vatican website in English, and it's a beautiful apostolic letter on this topic. And he spends a great deal of time developing and emphasizing the very point that you're talking about. What is the meaning of femininity in an inseparable connection to motherhood? And the meaning of motherhood and the importance of motherhood and the dignity of motherhood in ways that our modern culture can't even begin to comprehend. So I would suggest definitely, if you want to read something that completely lines up with what you're saying, that document from Pope John Paul II is very powerful.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's good to chat with you. Thank you. Oh, Romero, you did it. It's like a third time. I was just going to go to you, Romero. Okay, well, I guess, you know, the stars are just not lining up today. Of course, I don't believe in that, but let's see. Let's go to Tom in Front Royal, Virginia. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. This has got to be one of your greatest programs I've ever heard.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, with George and everyone else. Hearing all the things about abortion, I was a Baptist minister many years ago, and back in the very early 90s, we had a child, kind of a surprise child after all our other children were getting older, and the doctor, the pediatrician, told my wife, you're going to have a saline abortion because your body's not going to be able to handle this. And I said, oh, there's no way. I said, we're not going to have an abortion. And he said, oh, you're not part of this conversation. You're the father. He said, but I'm the doctor and this is the mother. This is strictly between the doctor.
Oh, I would have been out of that room so fast with my wife.
Yeah. But, well,
so what did you do?
I said, this is my child and her child. You don't have anything to do with it. So he said, well, I'm going to call the police if you don't leave, you know, me, not her. And I said, well, you can call them all you want. I said, my wife and I are leaving anyhow. So we left, and then on the way home, she was really worried about what he had told her about possible blood clots and all kinds of things that could happen to a woman of her age. She really wasn't that old. She was 37. But and I said, I tell you what, have the baby no matter what, and I'll get up every night, and I'll feed it. I'll do, you know, change the diapers, whatever I have to do, so you don't have to worry. And I did. Now that girl is 32, and she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm. I bet she's a pro-life doctor.
Yeah, no doubt. So I just wanted to call and give, you know, sometimes
what a chump.
Fathers are been really bad at advice by doctors, so I just wanted to let them know.
What a chump that doctor was. A total chump. I have other thoughts, other words that come to mind, but chump is probably the best word for right now.
Yeah. I can't imagine how many people in our part of Virginia that don't exist because of him.
Is he still practicing medicine after all these years, do you know?
You know, at the time, he was probably about 50, and his wife was probably 25. He was one of those kind of guys. And so he'd be in his 80s or maybe even 90 by now. So I don't know. He's not practicing anymore, no.
He's probably gone on to his eternal reward, such as it is. I hope he got right with Jesus before he left this planet.
Yeah, me too. Hey, I'm just going to let, on a totally different note, I'm the guy I called a couple years ago. I built the benches for the Waltons. Yeah, I know that was one of your TV shows that you liked.
You built the what for the Waltons?
The benches for their farm table.
On the show itself?
It was actually for the Waltons Museum right after the school closed
down. Oh, yeah. Over in Schuyler, Virginia, where they have the replica house and all that. Yeah, I've been there.
Yep.
That's cool.
That was fun.
Does this music sound familiar, Tom?
Definitely. Good show.
It's Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Man, you know where I was during the 70s. I was watching this.
There you go.
All right, Tom. Well, thank you. Good to know we have that connection with the Waltons. Cyrus, have I ever told you about how much I like the Waltons? Never mentioned that.
Never heard of it. Talk about Little House on the Prairie a lot.
One of these days, I'll tell you about the Waltons.
Thanks.
They're pretty cool.
I can't wait.
Oh, you'll love it. How about Justin now in Los Angeles? Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yes.
Last week, I was listening, and you made a comment about hating, that was the word you used several times, gay show tunes at mass.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a music minister. I've been a music minister for like over 40 years, and I have no idea what you're referring to. I mean, what kind of songs are you talking about?
Well, just to give you an idea of the genre, and actually my exact words were, I have an abiding hatred for the songs that sound like gay show tunes. What I'm referring to are the Broadway show style songs that are, you know, that could just as easily have been in Cats or some of the other popular Broadway shows. There's a certain genre of music, and I don't like it. And it's different from praise and worship. It's more, I'd say, born out of some of the 70s and 80s. And I'm not going to give specific examples, but I will say that there's a kind of genre that most people can identify. And that's what I mean. It sounds like a gay playwright or a gay, what's the word I'm looking for here? A composer wrote it for a Broadway show. That's what I'm referring to. And that's the kind of hymn or song that I have a deep and abiding hatred for.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying, but I have no, honest to gosh, I've been involved in this ministry for so long, and I can't even think of, and I talked to my other friends in music ministry, and they're going, what's he talking about? And I go, I don't know, so I'm going to call him. So that's why I'm calling. So I wish I had one example of, like, something like that.
Oh, okay. If you insist, okay. Gather Us In is a good example of a gay show tune. Let Us Build the Kingdom of God is another example. And those are just two that come off the top of my head. But if you listen to them and try to picture those being played in the score of a Broadway show, they would fit perfectly.
Okay. All right. Well, those are two examples that I'm familiar with. Okay. Yeah.
So don't take my prejudice for anything more than what it is. I mean, there's certain songs that I do very much like, and there's others that I react negatively to, and that category is one that I don't like. Just
gotcha.
Me.
Okay. All right.
No offense intended, okay. Justin. No offense intended towards you.
No, I'm not offended. I was just curious. Now, are they usually like entrance songs or like sessional songs or during the middle of the mass? I think
Gather Us In is an entrance song.
Right.
Let Us Build a Kingdom of God. I suppose that could be a recessional song as well. I'd have to give some thought to it, but when I hear them, I know them. I'm trying to remember who that figure, it might've been one of the Supreme Court justices, I think, who was asked, you know, what is obscene, or how do you define obscenity? And he says, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it, something like that. So to me, it's a certain genre of music that fits in that category. And, drives me crazy.
Something like City of God, is that kind of...
That one. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get you. Okay.
I can just picture people twirling and whirling and prancing and dancing as they sing the song. So.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that.
And as they say, I mean, you and I are friends, you and me. We'll have a purpose-driven taco together, but it's just my own personal preference, and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I know over the years it's been... it's the balance between, you know, keeping everybody happy.
And, I know, that's
and
not easy.
Like you said earlier, everybody has their own preference. It's true.
Yeah. Hey, there's a book you might enjoy, Justin. It's called Why Catholics Can't Sing. I think every...
What's the name again? Say it again.
It's called Why Catholics Can't Sing.
Why Catholics Can't Sing. That's funny.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, it came out, I think, in the late 80s. Thomas Day, or Tom... I think it's O'Day. I forget which it is. And he was, what is your title at your parish? You're the cantor or the director of music?
I'm a music minister.
Music minister. Okay. I believe that he had a similar title and he had a background in music, and he did a really spot on analysis of why a lot of Catholics are reticent or reluctant to sing at Mass. And it's just a very interesting overview that I found eye-opening. And if you ever get a chance you want to read it, I think you'd find it very interesting.
That does sound like a good place to look, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'd like to know why they can't sing. That's been our, all the time to get everybody to sing. We've done pretty good, you know. And the songs that you referred to, it's interesting because we people sing those here and they seem to enjoy them. So.
I know. And I know there are some people who really do like those kind of songs, and also praise and worship and other things. And those are different. Stephen Colbert, you know him, I'm sure, right?
Sure. Yeah.
He does. If you look this up on the YouTubes, you'll find him. He has a clip where he's singing one of these songs, and I forget which one it is. It might be City of God. And he's dancing to it. And it's funny, but kind of sad at the same time, because he dances to this hymn. It's not really a hymn, and he actually kind of personifies this sense that I'm talking about, like a show tune kind of song. And I'd like to find it, but if you look it up, I'm sure you could find it too. Let me see if I have. Oh, okay, I found it. Okay, so look it up. It's Stephen Colbert, and he's doing a dance to the hymn or the song. I keep saying hymn. I don't mean it's not a hymn. King of Glory. Remember, the King of Glory comes the nations. Yeah. Okay.
The King of Glory. Da, 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 da.
Yeah. So when you look at this thing, you're going to see him acting out what I in my mind am thinking when I hear one of these kinds of songs.
The King of Glory okay. comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices. Who is this King of Glory? How shall we call him? Yeah. He is Emmanuel.
Now he's dancing.
Of ages. The King yeah. of Glory comes, yeah. the nation rejoices. Yeah. Open the gates.
Check it
before
out. All right, Cyrus, thank you. I can't take it. And I don't know if Stephen Colbert likes that song or not, but boy, does he really nail it.
That one that, or Simon Chariot or Casting Through the Sea, that always reminded me of a show, too.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're, you can understand kind of where I'm coming from, I guess.
Okay. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Justin. Thank you. Appreciate that. And Cyrus, that is a funny video, isn't it? You hadn't seen that before, had you?
I haven't, and I'm laughing.
Yeah. Post that. When I first saw that came out, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever. But when I first saw that, I thought, he gets it. He understands me, because he's putting to choreograph steps what I envision when I hear that kind of music. Well, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but all right, we're overdue for a break. We'll do that now. Oh, we're going to go out to that? Okay. We'll go out to that, and we'll come right back with more right after this.
The promised of ages, the King of Glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before him, lift up your voice. Who is this King
of Glory? This hour is supported by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Join the nation's largest Catholic-oriented credit union and receive $200 when you add a direct deposit. Learn more at NotreDameFCU.com/join. That's NotreDameFCU.com/join.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
That's right. We've got the good vibes here for you on the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends about this program and tell them to download the Relevant Radio app. Let's see. Rebecca just sent me a note. I love this. Patrick, last week during a discussion about pets, Rebecca's in San Diego, by the way. Last week during a discussion about pets and animals going to heaven, you recommended watching the Twilight Zone episode, The Hunt, which I did later that day. Reading the credits, I noticed that that episode was written by Earl Hamner. I didn't know that. Like you, I am a devoted Waltons fan, the Waltons, and I recognized Earl Hamner as the creator and writer of the Waltons. On today's show, a caller mentioned the Waltons, and I remembered to email you. You may already have known this information, and if not, you do now. May the Lord continue to bless Relevant Radio and your outreach to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's so kind of you, Rebecca. Thank you. It's thoughtful. And I honestly did not know that Earl Hamner wrote that episode. As I understand it, he wrote a number of episodes for The Twilight Zone, but that's good to know. All the more reason why I like that episode, I guess. Let's go to Anna now in New Mexico. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. I have a question. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I have a question on a family issue. My in-laws, my mother-in-law is Protestant. She recently divorced, and she's got a new friend. So I got a call from her asking if she could come visit us and bring her friend. They would spend the night.
Is but her friend a male of the species, by chance?
Yes, a boyfriend. Okay. So she did specify he could sleep in another room, and they wouldn't want to share a room. But I ultimately asked her not to do that because I have young kids, and I feel like it's a little bit scandalous for them to see grandma with a new boyfriend under my roof. So I guess I just wanted to see what your opinion is about that situation and how to handle that.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah, that pretty much summarizes.
Nope.
Can I hear that again, please?
Nope.
Yeah, that pretty much summarizes my reaction to that. Okay, so grandma's got a new boyfriend. Grandma just got divorced. Grandma, right. I'm assuming, did not receive a declaration of nullity from the church. So no. Grandma is still married in the eyes of God and the church. So what's that exactly. Decision again? Negatory, good buddy.
Nope.
There you go.
Okay, well, I was feeling, you know, just a little bit mean about it, but I mean, I know she feels like she's all right with God about it because, you know, she's Protestant and they don't have an issue with that. But I mean, that helps me to feel like I did the right thing. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. So that would be, I think, an interesting conversation for you to have with her. But maybe you can point out, you know, if you're a Protestant, that's great. If you believe in Jesus, that's really great. Don't forget that Jesus says, you know, if a man divorces his wife and remarries, he commits adultery. If a woman divorces her husband and remarries, she commits adultery. And you're not even getting remarried. You're just taking the fornication shortcut, which is just as bad. So if you really do love Jesus, Grandma, you should pay attention to what he says. And he had some things to say about this very issue. Obviously, I'm saying it in a somewhat flippant way, so you and your graciousness can convey that message in a way that's not flippant, but she needs to hear it because she's living a life that's contrary to what she purports to be if she claims to be a follower of Jesus. Well, thanks, Anna.
I don't want that on my karmic record.
No, I really don't.
You really don't. You really, really don't. Let's see. Mark in Madison, Wisconsin. Good morning, Mark. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Patrick. Real quick, I just listened to the episode about the liturgical songs and the song Gather Us In. And probably about 10 years ago, we had a bishop who's passed away. God bless his soul. Bishop Marlino.
Oh, yes. Wrote an article. The great Bishop Marlino. I remember him.
Yeah. Wrote an article in the Catholic Herald about liturgical music and specifically pointed out that song was not appropriate for Mass. Unfortunately, some parishes, I think, continued to play it after that, which was disappointing. But he specifically did point out that song, you know, probably among others, but that one kind of stuck out because I never cared for it myself. It did sound kind of like a carnival song, and it just wasn't, wasn't appropriate.
I have a different description for it. Yeah, I'm just going to read you the lyrics. This is by Marty Hagen. And most people will know the tune, you know. Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in our space, our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in, blah, 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 blah. And one of the things that irritates me about this song is it's all about us and we and us and we and us and we. And it's telling God what he needs to do. Call to us now and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young. Our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your faith. It's just like we, us, us, us. Aren't we there to praise God? And this gay show tune, forgive me, but that's what it sounds like to me, is just all whirling and twirling and prancing and dancing, and it's all about us, to me, completely misses the point. And although I didn't read the statement by the late, great Bishop Morlino, I'm not surprised to hear him say that he didn't like that song either.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't want to take up your time. I did just want to mention that since the other caller had brought that up, so.
Fair enough. Well, thank you, Mark. And let's all remember to say a prayer for the repose of the soul of Bishop Morlino. Good man. And I realize I have probably just irritated any number of you who like those songs. It's not my intention to do so. But I really do believe that that kind of song is antithetical to proper reverence and focusing on what's most important, and that's God himself when we're at Mass. So that's my take. That's my stand. And let's move on. Let's go to Maria in Gilbert, Arizona. Good morning, Maria.
Hi, good morning, Patrick. I wanted to go back a little bit to the comments that you made about amniocentesis and all of that.
Yeah.
Because I was my first pregnancy, I got married when I was 33. In my first pregnancy, I was giving birth at 35, and they really wanted me to do that. And, you know, because I think hopefully we were a little older couple, and why should we say absolutely not? So they never bugged me for my... We went to the same doctors because they had nurse midwives, and some of them things did a little bit more naturally. So we stuck with the practice, but they kind of knew where our son was, so they never bothered me when I, you know, had two more children.
And were your babies born healthy?
They all were healthy, and we just thought they, I mean, even the geneticist, because we met with him, it was like pushing and saying, well, then you'll be prepared. Like, what, I mean, my husband would say, what are the reasons? But locally in this practice, my husband had equal rights, and this happened like 32 years ago. And so anyway, you know, they listened to him too, as well as me, because maybe I said to them, I want my husband to be there or something like that. And so,
so when they said that you will, at least you'll be prepared, what they meant by that is you'll be prepared to have an abortion. Because if we find something, certainly you wouldn't want to have a baby that might have one of these anomalies. That's the unspoken point that they're making, right?
Yes, yes. So my husband's answer to him was, well, you know, we'll wait until the birth, and then we have the rest of our lives to be prepared anyway. I don't like that.
That's a good way to look at it. And I'm with you 100%. Well, thanks be to God, Maria, that you and your husband did the right thing and that your children are all healthy. I'm sure that they thank you in their prayers at the very least for you choosing life for them. Thank you. A couple of quick emails I want to get to. Let's see. Who's this? Alexis says, let's see a show. Can we get a show of hands for how many listeners just ran to YouTube to check out the Colbert video? She has her hand up. I think you're probably right. The Lord of the Dance, It's Truly Terrible. That's from Julianne in Houston. Cynthia says, my son and I always felt that the music To Gather a Sin sounded like a Viking drinking song. That's interesting. I never would have thought about that. I haven't been to too many Viking drinking events, but that's good to know. And she says, by the way, you were wonderful with George. He is in my prayers. That's kind of you. Thank you. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, okay. I'm getting called on the carpet here. I think I am anyway. Christy in Minnesota, referring to name calling, says, a few minutes ago, you took a call about a doctor who would call the police if the caller, who was the father, did not leave the room during an appointment for his pregnant wife. And you called the doctor a chump. Don't get me wrong. I am pro-life, pro-father has a say in his child's welfare, opposed to abortion, doctors, and their businesses. My observation is that many children and either new Catholics or people searching and exploring the faith hear you, a very well-versed Catholic show, just calling people names. I feel name-calling, whether they truly deserve it or not, is inappropriate and could be a negative message to especially the young that this is okay when are to be the hands and feet and voices of Jesus. Okay, well, first, Christy, thank you kindly for taking a moment to write to me, and I understand your sensitivity. I think the doctor was a chump to do that, and if you look up the word chump, you'll see why. Sometimes name-calling is appropriate, and I think I can prove that. Go to Matthew chapter 23 and see the names that Jesus called the scribes and Pharisees. He called them brood of vipers, hypocrites, whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones, and on and on. So there's a time and place when you can use, and let's face it, chump is pretty low down the totem pole when it comes to, you know, calling somebody a name. But I think that's an apt name for a doctor who would tell the father, get out of the room that we're talking to your wife about her pregnancy, because you don't have an opinion. It's between me and your wife. If I had been that guy, I would have called him a name worse than chump. C-H-U-M-P, by the way, for anyone who's wondering. So,
what an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
That's another one. That's another one. So, Christy, you're a nice lady, and I appreciate your thoughtful comment, but I'm going to stick with the chump thing. I think it's entirely appropriate. Thank you. Let's see. Let's get to, where are we going? Let's go to Joe in Wallington, New Jersey. Good morning, Joe.
Yes, good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
I'm sorry. You're supposed to, I know you well. Of course, I have it. 73 years of doing that. Anyway, I have a friend, a really quiet friend. He is a member of the Hungarian Reformed Church.
Okay.
And one day we're talking. We always talk about the differences between Catholicism and Calvinism.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why don't you come to one of my church services one time, and then I'll come to yours. I says, okay, that's fine. So we went, and, you know, I was asking him on the way up there. I says, do you have a – oh, he said, by the way, this is having communion service this week. I says, well, he says, you're invited to, you know, receive. I says, well, I don't really believe that's the body and blood of Christ, and I would just – in my, and this was done in an academic setting – that I don't want to receive just bread and grape juice. He says, fine, no problem there. He said, well, what about when I go to your church? I said, well, you shouldn't. And I told him why we believe it's the body and blood of Christ. And if you receive it unworthily, you're bringing condemnation on yourself.
Right.
So we get to the church there, and the minister stands up, and they have a cup and some silver trays and stuff. And he starts reciting, and this represents my body and blood. And I said, well, I know I made the right choice there.
Yes, you did.
So later on, we talking about it. I said, you know, you don't resent. Where did you get that from? That's not biblical. He said, well, it's just liturgical. I said, you just can't change the scripture for liturgical reasons.
Yeah. So I know what you had the right response, Joe. So did it end on a friendly note?
Oh, yes. We're still friends. That's not it. He says, you're trying to make me a Catholic? I says, no, I'm not trying to make you anything, but I'm going to invite you to attend and let God decide where you're going to go.
I like it. I hope they didn't gather a sin when he came to Mass with you. Ha ha.
Well, he didn't go yet. Well, one quick thing. Could I talk to Cyrus Orthier? I have a question, and I don't know if it's appropriate to ask on the air.
Do me a favor. Send Cyrus an email. That'd be the easiest way to do it. Go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, click on connect, and send Cyrus an email, and he'll get it, and then he'll be able to decide what to do with it from there, Joe. Thank you. Appreciate that. Got a note just now from Jennifer. Darn you, Patrick Madrid. Now I can't get the song Gather Us In out of my head now. Thanks for all you do, she says. Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks to network sponsor PushPay. PushPay offers parishes a platform for tracking donations and sacraments, overseeing schedules, mobile apps to help manage your administrative load, and much more. Info at relevantradio.com/pushpay. That's relevantradio.com/pushpay.
Can I get a beef taco, please?
Oh, we don't do that here, sir. Can I offer you our vegan gluten-free broccoli tacos with cashew cheese?
How about some chicken fajitas? Can I do chicken fajita?
No chicken fajitas either, sir. How about some crispy kale lettuce wrap?
A what wrap?
Crispy kale wrapped in lettuce with a side of vegan coleslaw.
So it's a salad wrapped in a salad with a side of salad.
Tres, cuatro tacos. Don't forget the rice and beans on the plato. I like to eat, homie, yo no estoy flaco. Yeah, I'm chubby, pero I'm still guapo. Uno, dos, tres.
Patrick Madrid is on
Taco Tuesday,
coast to coast on Relevant Radio.
Taco Tuesday's my favorite day. Favorite. That's the reason why I'm all away.
All away.
Pero I don't care, homie, let them hate. I'm just trying to eat another plate. Another one. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro tacos.
All right. We had to get to that point there. Got a note, Cyrus, from Mary, I believe it was, saying that she didn't like the fact that I called them gay show tunes. Sorry, Mary. I guess I can't please everybody, but thanks for your email. Let's go to Yvonne now in Las Vegas. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome. How may I be of service this morning, Yvonne?
Have a thought, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I attended a Democratic convention over the weekend.
Okay.
And one of the things that I came away with is that, you know, as Catholics, we go to these events, but we don't practice our faith at those events. And kind of mind-boggling, because the next day we were all in church. But yet I'm supporting pro-life, but yet others are saying, you know, free will for women and all these other things that to try and be very inclusive. And so I'm trying to wrap my head around what's right, what's wrong. Where do we?
Yeah, I think I understand. Your phone's acting a little funny, Yvonne. Forgive my interruption there. I think I understand your point. So the group you're talking about are all Catholic, and you're Catholic, you're pro-life, which is correct. And there are some Catholics who are, I think what you're alluding to is that they're in favor of abortion or they're willing to vote for candidates who support abortion, etc. Well, I don't understand that phenomenon myself. I can't relate to that myself. I can't imagine saying that I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm going to go ahead and be enthusiastic about a party or a candidate who is in favor of abortion. Now, there are other issues as well. That's just one example. And if that were a Republican candidate, doesn't matter to me, I would still say nope, as a certain friend of mine named Billy would say. Let me hear Billy say that, Cyrus. Come on, Cyrus.
Oh,
you
me?
You do it, Cyrus. Oh, yeah, you. You, Cyrus, not the other Cyrus.
Nope.
Yeah.
Right on time.
Yeah, it just never fails.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. So to me, Yvonne, that doesn't make any sense for someone to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm A-okay with killing unborn children. I can't square that circle. So I feel your pain and I share your bewilderment as to how somebody can hold both things together in their mind simultaneously. It doesn't make sense at all to me. So for what it's worth anyway, thank you, Yvonne. Let's go now to, let's see, Lisa in, now what's the name of the town? Ione? Is that the name of the town in California?
Good morning. It is Ione.
I own. Okay. Very, yes. As opposed to I rent California, you're in I own California. Got it.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Cool.
I just wanted to share that, sadly, 90% of children with Down syndrome are aborted. And we don't do any genetic testing, but our baby number 5 out of 7 mm-hmm. Had some markers at her ultrasound that there may be a possibility of her having Down syndrome. And so when meeting with the genetic specialist, she was offering the amnio and all for the testing so that we could be well-informed, of course. And when I told her I needed some time to think about maybe doing testing or maybe not, she was very pressuring and saying, well, we need to know quickly because we need to germinate quickly. And I was just so appalled that she was offering me an abortion. And so mm-hmm. my husband and I just walked out. Yeah. But I just wanted to share that she is the greatest joy of our home. And for people not to be scared or nervous if they ever get that possible diagnosis.
That's a beautiful sentiment, and I can hear the emotion in your voice, Lisa. How impossible it would be to imagine not having her with you had you accepted the pressure from the doctor. What a terrible thing that would have been. Well, God bless you and your husband for doing the right thing. What was the look on his or her face, the doctor's face, when you turned and walked out of the room?
She wasn't even a doctor. She was just a genetic specialist. She wanted to map out our family history to see if there was a pattern. And she was just very pressuring because I said, well, I'm going to, you know, think about it. And she said, well, no, you don't understand. You only have a week to decide. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, because, you know, here we can only offer termination until, I think it was 24 weeks. And I blatantly said, are you offering an abortion? And she said, well, you know, we don't like to use that word. And I said, no, thank you. We're done. We're not going to do any genetic testing. We'll just take what God gives us when baby's born. Right. And like I said, she's number 5 of number 7. And she is just the greatest blessing and the joy of our house. And everybody just, you know, loves and adores her.
Beautiful. So, what is your daughter's name?
Her name First is Lisandra.
Lisandra. How beautiful. What a great blessing for you and your whole family and for us now that you've told us about it, Lisa. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Wow. How about Jeff now in Dallas? Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Patrick. It is such a great joy to talk with you.
Thank you.
You were talking about George. I wanted to tell you quickly that I have been an Alcoholics Anonymous for 43 years now, Patrick. I got sober in my early 20s. We started a youth group back in the early 1980s when young people just started coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. I would like to encourage George to please come and meet young people because it's very important if you're addictive to get in the presence of other people who are just like you, because we can help, you know, you to identify with what all your problems are. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick, is part of why Alcoholics Anonymous was formed, so that people can help each other out. It's very important to get together with the people who have been through the same experience that you have, not saying that you can't help another thing, but it's important to be around people who have been exactly through that. That's part of the miracle of getting sober. Mm-hmm. Because in my recovery, I have experienced many, many miracles in my life, Patrick. I can't tell you all the things that have gone on for me.
How would you summarize it, Jeff, just in the interest of time, because we're almost out of time? In 30 seconds, how would you summarize your message?
Well, Bill Wilson, years ago, who founded it, put it in 6 words: trust God, clean house, and help others.
Yeah.
3 spiritual principles of recovery, that if you can get a person to get off all the booze and all the drugs and that, you can help them to start looking at themselves.
Do repeat those 6 words again, Jeff, so everybody can note them down. They're very good.
Yeah, trust God, clean house, and help others. And I want to say one more thing, too, I think that you would like. Program in AA means people relying on God, relaying a message.
I like it. Program, and the acronym PROGRAM, repeat what it means again. People relying on God.
People relying on God, relaying a message.
I love it, Jeff. Thank you for taking a moment to share that with us. And congratulations on 43 years of sobriety. What a tremendous achievement that is by God's grace. Thank you, Jeff. How about Esteban now in Dallas? Good morning, Esteban.
Good morning, Patrick. You might have answered this question before.
Okay.
Can a couple who was married in the Catholic Church be annulled? And if so, can they remarry again, or would it be considered adultery?
Okay, so in theory, yes, although we would prefer to always see the marriage reconciled and the couple to be healed in their marriage so that they can live as they promised in their vows, till death do us part. If, however, there's some reason that that's impossible, then yes, there is a process known as the annulment process, in which the church would investigate the facts of the marriage when it took place to find out if there might have been some reason that the marriage would have been null or invalid. And it may be valid, or they may find, oh, well, she didn't disclose the fact that she had a baby before she got married and she never told him about that. That might be an example. Or he never told her that he had a raging drug addiction and he hid that from her before they got married. So things like that and other things could be a reason why the marriage was null or invalid. And if that's the case, as to the second part of your question, then yes, if the church were to declare nullity in that marriage and say it was never valid, then both parties would be free, all of the things being equal, to pursue marriage, and that would not be adultery because they were not validly married in the first place. If they were validly married in the first place, then no, they could not pursue a second marriage because then that would be adultery. But the church would help make that decision. The church would determine whether or not they were free to do that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that was very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome, Esteban. And if you want to talk more about that, maybe your own personal situation, feel free to call me anytime. We'll discuss it. Well, until next time, until tomorrow, same Pat time, same Pat channel, I'll be praying for you. Please say a special prayer for George. You heard from him today. And pray for me too, please. God bless you.